Welcome to 101.5 Community Conversations on Wildfire, where we help you stay safe, informed, and ready. I'm your host, J.D. Haas. Today, we're joined by Ann Rarick from the community organization Active in Disaster, also known as COAD, to talk about how outreach is evolving and what it really takes to reach the whole community. Welcome to 101.5, Ann.
Thanks, JD.
Can you tell us about your role at COAD and how it connects to wildfire preparedness?
So the Tahoe Truckee COAD, which stands for Community Organizations Active in Disaster, develops and enhances partnerships to create a resilient Tahoe Truckee region that is prepared to respond and recover from disasters. We do this through communication, cooperation, coordination, and collaboration with a variety of stakeholders, including nonprofit and faith-based organizations, government agencies, and the private sector. So that's our mission statement. But then when we talk about wildfire preparedness, we do a lot of direct outreach to the community, including preparedness presentations, being at various community events, and engaging with different groups amongst the community to make sure we're all ready to respond and recover from a wildfire.
So let's elaborate. When we talk about equity and wildfire preparedness, what does it really mean, Ann?
So to me, it really means that we're ensuring everyone has access to information in order to be prepared, what people need to do to respond, and if we ever experience a wildfire, what that looks like for recovery for them. And in equity, it means it could look different from family to family or individual to individual. So people may have different needs in regard to wildfire preparedness.
Okay, so there's gaps in our community. And understanding these gaps is really important in delivering the messages. So who are the most underserved or hardest to reach populations in our region?
Yeah, so in the disaster world, people who have what's called an access or functional need are disproportionately affected by disasters. And some groups that may fall under what is called AFN, individuals who have a physical, developmental, intellectual disability, chronic health condition or injury, people who have limited English proficiency, older adults, so the seniors in our community, children, people who are pregnant. And then it also could include, you know, folks that are low income, unhoused, or don't have access to reliable transportation.
And so that's a barrier, right? That's one of the barriers of getting them the information. But what are the biggest barriers these groups face when it comes to preparedness?
Yeah, I think a lot of times it could be accessing information. So if you don't have access to technology, where are you going to get your information during an emergency like a wildfire? Making sure that information is in your preferred language. So a big piece on that information and communications. And then other barriers we see during wildfire events could be transportation and even just a lack of resources to evacuate. So it's expensive to get a hotel room. So where are folks going to go if they need to evacuate or loss of work and things like that?
Yeah. You said expensive. That brings it up, right? Housing. And, you know, there is a big gap as well in our housing. And for those who rent, you know, how does being a renter change someone's ability to prepare for wildfire?
I think it could look like a few different things. Maybe you don't have a ton of storage. Thankfully, you can make a go bag that's pretty small. You know, we did talk about expense, but if it's within your budget, consider getting renter's insurance. Renter's insurance, if your home is damaged to a wildfire, it may cover your belonging loss, but not just that, but some plans that cover additional living expenses. So if you need to be in a hotel for a really long time, that insurance, you know, depending on your plan, may cover expenses like that. So
never thought about that.
Yeah. So we do recommend, you know, if it works for people's budgets to get that renter's insurance.
Yeah, but it seems almost key because that would be more overwhelming of an expense than some losses at times.
Definitely. And it could also, you know, again, depending on your plan and what it looks like,
yes,
could cover security deposit for if you have to move into a new home.
Oh, it even goes deep. See, these are the things that people aren't talking about, these things.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff when saying, oh, do you have renter's insurance? Oh, I don't need it. But living in, you know, the area in wildfire, especially here, that is really important information. Now, distributing the information, it's about languages, it's about communication, you know, and language barriers. And how significant is that language barrier in emergency preparedness, getting the message to those folks?
Well, it's critical, right?
Yeah, I can tell.
Being able to access and understand, if you get an emergency alert to your phone, what is it saying? What is the guidance? What are you supposed to do? So I think, yeah, that language access is critical in wildfire preparedness and emergency preparedness in general.
Just like that, you said, you know, hey, this is critical, JD. And you're correct. It is critical. But organizations, they have common mistakes. And when getting that message out there and trying to reach the Spanish-speaking communities, what are those common mistakes that are being made?
We thankfully are lucky. We have a lot of amazing agencies that we're working with Spanish-speaking communities all the time. So they're building those relationships. They're building the trust. And then as the COAD, we can connect with those organizations to bring the information that we want to share. But because they're trusted messengers in the community, you know, the groups that we're trying to reach are more likely to take action and then again, like sign up for the alerts and get prepared for wildfire preparedness. But I think one big mistake that can happen when we're talking about creating messaging is, you know, using platforms like Google Translate doesn't always take into different dialects or those, you know, smaller cultural differences. And then words get lost and the message could be confusing or people don't really know what to do. So I think it's really important that, you know, we as organizations create that messaging ahead of time and then vet it through those trusted messengers and even, you know, have the individuals and groups that we're trying to reach take a look and say, does that make sense ahead of time instead of, you know, in that moment trying to scramble to translate something.
Yeah, we found that here too at the radio station, cultural relevant messaging and how to make sure that we have that correct, because if it's incorrect, it's just going to pass you right by and they're just going to kind of not hear it. But it's also about trusted sources too. And it's not about what you say, it's about who's saying it.
Absolutely.
And who are the trusted messengers in these communities?
Sierra Community House is a big one. Their Promotora program is incredible. They're working every day with Spanish-speaking communities and, you know, connecting folks to resources. And they are really, really trusted in our community. So the COAD works with Sierra Community House a lot. The Advocates over at the Tahoe Forest Health System, they're a great resource. And then talking about, you know, reaching seniors and some of those older adults and recognizing the different needs that they may have, Sierra Senior Services is a great partner in that kind of work.
So we've got these great organizations, all these outreach, people are working one-on-one, trusted folks to carry the message. Where do you see like biggest gaps?
Yeah. I think, again, that communication piece, you know, we always can work on that and making sure that we're reaching who we're trying to reach. Transportation is a big issue in this community day to day. So, you know, there's a lot of folks that don't have access to reliable transportation. So during an emergency, knowing what the needs might be for those folks. We've also learned that recovery is really challenging, especially with people who may lack resources like insurance or are underinsured or don't qualify for government assistance like FEMA. It can make the recovery process much longer and more challenging.
That's some great information. A lot of things that we've been missing as well. Thank you, Anne. So if you could change one thing about how we approach wildfire outreach, what would it be?
Well, I think wildfires are really scary. So a lot of times folks don't want to think about it. They don't want to think that it's going to happen to them. But actually knowing that if you prepare and have a plan for your family, it might actually lower some of those stress levels. So just want the community to know there are steps that you can take so you feel a little more in control in a maybe situation that you don't feel in control of, or that's, again, a really scary thing to think about. So yeah, I think it just knowing that it's a community approach and being prepared also means knowing your neighborhood. Who down the street might need a little extra help? Do you have your neighbor's cell phone numbers in your phone. So taking those steps kind of on that neighbor to neighbor level, I really want to increase that level of preparedness in our community. Yeah, I realized like a couple summers ago, I'm like, I don't have my neighbor's cell phone number.
And this takes me back a couple of decades, right at the launch of social media, before we had all this community outreach, and there was a wildfire just starting up here on Donner Summit. And people were racing through the streets 80, 90 miles an hour. There wasn't much preparedness. Today, it's changed. The information is out there. And so has the way, again, of connecting with people with emergency alerts.
Yep.
And this changed again. Even if you signed up last time for Code Red, there's a whole new program that everybody's moving to.
Yeah, so we really want to make sure we're getting the word out about that. So like you mentioned, Nevada County transitioned to a new opt-in emergency alert and warning system. So it's called Nevada County Alerts. It's replacing Code Red. So again, the platform will deliver critical information to residents. So it's that text message you get on your phone. If there is, you know, when we had the fire behind Safeway a couple summers ago, and it will say these zones need to evacuate, or maybe these zones are in an warning. So we really, really want people to re-enroll in that program or in that alert system. So to do so, you can go to readynevadacounty.gov/emergency alerts. You also need support registering. You can call 211 and speak with a live call agent. And the call agents are also bilingual. So if you need support signing up for those, the new Nevada County alert system.
So you're not going to automatically be migrated over from the old one. You have to do this.
Not to my understanding, no.
Yeah. So this is a mandatory if you want those alerts, because Nevada County and the town of Truckee, they're all moving to this new alert system.
Yes. Whether or not you live in the town of Truckee or unincorporated Nevada County, it will all be that same Nevada County alert system. We also recommend maybe you live in Placer County and Sierra Meadows or in Kings Beach, but you spend a lot of time in Truckee, you can still enroll in those alerts. So still really important, since we are so regional here, we really recommend that you enroll in multiple, in both Placer alerts and Nevada County alerts.
Okay, so if you need help doing this, and you are going to be digitally challenged, and you're still in the analog world, quit laughing at my record player. 211?
Yeah, 211 is an amazing resource. It's another program run by Connecting Point. It's the local information resource and referral line for the Tahoe-Truckee region. So it's a 24/7, 365 service. If you need any types of resources in the community, maybe that's housing, maybe that's food resources. But if there is an incident like a wildfire, 211 activates and becomes the non-emergency line during that incident. So it's a non-threatening situation. Maybe you just need information. You're not in the evacuation zone, but you want to know what zones are, or maybe where the shelter is, or questions about animals or something like that. 211 is a great resource. The goal is to really kind of take some of the pressure off our 911 system during these events, so law enforcement and 911 can really work on those really life-threatening situations.
And they'll help you too if you're not able to like navigate and get through and get signed up. They can get you through this too.
Yep, exactly. So if you call 211 or 1-883-DIAL-211, they can help you enroll in that new emergency alert system that we were just talking about.
Okay. 211 is the analog way when you pick up your phone. Yep. And if you want to go to the digital way, that's readynevadacounty.org/emergency alert. And it's a must, because as you just heard, you're not going to be migrated over from the old system, and you must re-sign up. Anything else? Have we missed anything, Anne?
Yeah, I think just remembering a couple key points when you're thinking about as we move into wildfire season and what that looks like for you and your family. Top three things. Number one, make a plan. So what does that look like? Do you have a lot of pets? Do you have large animals? You might need a little bit of time to evacuate. So potentially you're getting ready during that evacuation warning versus an order. So just knowing the needs of yourself and your family and what that might look like if you need to evacuate. Okay. We already kind of talked about signing up for emergency alerts. That's one way of getting information. Think about multiple ways of accessing information. If, you know, we don't have cell coverage, that's 1015. That's going to be huge. Turning on the radio, getting information. And then the last thing I just want to hit home, you know, we're a really strong community and we look out for each other, but check on your neighbors. Know who is down the street that might need that extra support. Is really, really critical in those first few hours or moments during a wildfire.
Let's think about the future. All this work, what's it going to add up to? And if we do get it right, what does an equitable, resilient Tahoe look like 5 years from now?
Yeah, I think it means that everyone can access wildfire preparedness information in their preferred format. So whether that's online or that's calling someone or texting someone to get the information, however that works for that individual and how they need to receive it. And not just that preparedness piece, but that response resources are equitable and available to the whole community. And again, going to hammer home that recovery. So folks that are under-resourced are going to take longer in recovery. So how do we build systems and processes and, you know, connect all these organizations, which is a big role of the COAD, to be able to help folks recover quicker and stronger and then be more resilient if we ever have a next one. So.
Oh boy, let's not think about the next one. It's scary. But if we do these things, as you said, it won't be so scary.
That's the goal.
You got it. Okay. Ann Rarick from the Community Organization and Active Disaster, also known as COAD. Thank you again for taking the time to come down and talk about this with us, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
You got it. Okay, JD Haas here. And just a reminder, 211, that is your non-emergency line. And they can walk you through many steps to get you prepared. And then during a situation, if it is a non-emergency, 211 takes that pressure off the 911 line. And you can grab that information and they will direct you. And it's imperative that if you are part of Code Red, everybody in Nevada County and the town of Truckee, there is a change. And so you must change and re-sign up if you want to get those alerts at readynevadacounty.org/emergency alerts. And as Ann was saying, that you have the option of English or Spanish. So, you know, I like the top three things there. Make a plan, listen to the radio, go to your trusted source and get to know your neighbors, because in one of these events, it is going to be important that you are working with your neighbors. Well, that wraps up today's episode in Wildfire and Equity, Reaching the Whole Community. I'm JD Haas, your 101.5 Community Conversations on Wildfire host. Stay safe, stay informed. And let's keep talking.
This message provided by Truckee Fire as part of the Measure T Community Wildfire Prevention Fund.